from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Ranger Proud is out, a little under the weather, going to hold it down for him. So BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and Stitcher. We got preseason hockey underway. We got some NHL action, man. You're going around the league. You got Hurricane Lightning game. You have the Blackhawks and the Red Wings. You know, you got the Sabres and the Blue Jackets. Minnesota is in the second period versus the Wild. We're going to talk Central Division tonight. A little bit of Golden Knights Avalanche later on. Islanders, Flyers. Everything's going on tonight, man. Rangers take the ice tomorrow. A lot to discuss in a small amount of time, so let's get right to it. Last week, there was a just a couple of days ago, as far as the intra-squad workout or the game between Team Leech and Team Grays, and I put out there on social media as what I thought is that was a best-of-seven series between Team Grays and Team Leech. You know, I think I would roll with Team Graves and going winning in six games. I think, you know, just for fun purposes. I mean, we know this was not going to happen. But when I have a squad of Elias Anderson and Vinny Leteri, Stephen Fogarty and Gettinger, and of course O'Regan and Hedl and Kapokako on one team, and I know I got Hayek as one of the defensemen and Skinner probably somewhere in the lines, I'll take my chances with that lineup over the Team Leech team. I mean the Team Leech team is not that bad as far as Rangers purposes. Bunieves, Vitali Krasov, who's been a playmaker in the Traverse City tournament with Brad Howden. But I really like the Hedl team because I think Hedl will definitely get his, man. I think we're looking for a pretty good year out of Filip Hedl. I'm looking forward to his play. We saw a little bit of flashes out of him last year, and I think he's ready to contribute and make a really good contribution scoring-wise with these younger guys. And there was a huge talk. I still don't understand why around the NHL or with the New York Rangers base, as far as is this still a rebuild or not a rebuild? This is crazy to me because we are no longer in rebuild mode. We're already putting this thing in session. The moment we clear our salary cap and we're signing players from other teams, and we're, matter of fact, we're at one point, we're over the cap. That tells me we are no longer in rebuild mode. We are ready to go with what we got. We got our forwards. We got our young guys. We got the centers. Guys got developed over in the KHL. You got guys coming up the ranks from other teams and trades. So we're ready to roll. All right, free agency-wise, you know, with Trouba, we talked about that last week. And then, of course, Panarin signing. We are ready to roll with the blue shirts. All right, no more talk of rebuild, none of that stuff. All right, but – you know, we're going to talk a lot of next week. We'll get into the Pacific Division next week, but also recap some of the NHL or the preseason games with the Blue Shirts, and even some of the other games as well around the NHL. We're going to definitely do that. I know that we're talking to the Central Division tonight, and I think this division, just like the other two divisions we talked about with the Metropolitan Division and the Atlantic, I think the Central stack, man. I think the Central Division was the best division top to bottom last year. And I think going into this year, I think we're looking at more of the same. I think the Atlantic has improved a lot. I still don't think – I don't favor them as the top to bottom threat because, you know, sitting at the bottom is Detroit, Ottawa, those type of teams are in the Atlantic that's going to – hold the weight of the entire division down, where I think we saw last year where the Central was top to bottom a stack. And I said that consistently over the last year during our regular season. I mean, it's really a gauntlet, man. I mean, if you get out of there, man, you win the Stanley Cup like the St. Louis Blues did, you definitely earn your keeps. And they went on and they played a tough Boston Bruins team and finished them seven games on the road at the TD Bank North Center, man. So, this division, I'll look into the. I'll briefly go over who I think is, you know, regular season wise, who's going to win the division and who's going to finish last in the division. I don't think there's much change, honestly, in the regular season when I when I speak upon this, because I think a lot of the pieces, for the most part, a lot of the constants are still the same within the Central Division. But there are some key pieces where I think there could be a little bit of shuffling between, let's say, second and fifth place in the Central Division. I could go one by one and look at every piece that I could see that's vital and what is going to make this work. But I will say this. I'm going to start with the Minnesota Wild. All right, we know that Matt Zuccarello is a former Ranger. He was briefly on the Dallas Stars last year due to the trade. Went to the Minnesota Wild through free agency. To me, they're one of the teams that have decent middle-of-the-road players, savvy veterans, some guys who've been there around the league for a while. Zach Parise, former Devil, Eric Staal, who's won a Stanley Cup with the Carolina Hurricanes. He's actually had some good years as a Minnesota Wild after leaving the New York Rangers. But you add in Kevin Fiala and, of course, Jason Zucker. But they are very decent at defensemen with Matthew Dumba and Ryan Suter. But is that enough to compete within the division 82 games on an 82-game schedule? I will say no. I think there's some missing pieces in there. And I think they're – not knowing their salary cap situation, I know that they're going to have to probably make some deals to really push for a playoff spot. They finished towards the last of the division last year, and I definitely know they want to improve on that. They're not a bad team. I think they're a decent team, but when you have to go up against Winnipeg and Nashville's and even Chicago and the Colorado's, Dallas's, I mean, that's a tough stretch, man, playing either those teams at home or away. So what do I see out of this year? I think Matt Zuccarello is going to definitely help them up a lot, man. I really do. I think that he's going to really help with his playmaking abilities, setting up guys as far as Jason Zucker on that line and Kevin Fiala if he moves up to the first or the second line. I think there's some good potential. They're a pretty fun team to watch at times in some of these games. If you watch the NHL over, let's say, on a Saturday night. But goaltending situation could be a little bit spotty. But, hey, the Minnesota Wild, did I think they get better? Yes, I do. A little bit, but not significantly better. But I just think they're probably middle of the pack within the division, maybe towards the bottom like last year. They're just going to have to – if they're going to really make for a real, real push, I think they're going to have to leapfrog some teams. They got to make some trades here, man. Probably out of four, probably get somebody from the Pacific Division. Maybe not trade within the division. Maybe from somebody from a team from the East that's not going to make it. So there'll probably be some buyers on the trade deadline. They'll probably be fighting for a wild card spot if everything's not booked up by then. On to the Chicago Blackhawks, a team that we're all familiar with over the last 15 years or so. A lot of moving pieces. Their head coach is now in Florida. But a lot of the constants are still there. The old veterans, man, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, Duncan Keith. I mean, these guys won multiple Stanley Cups with the squad, and they're still on the team. And then you add in a Brandon Saad and Eric Gustafsson, who's the opposite defenseman for Duncan Keith, and then Alex Debrincat as well. I mean, this is a decent core, but they don't have a lot of guys around those guys. What really made them click for those Stanley Cup years. There's a lot of questions on their age. There's a lot of questions that they still have a lot to compete with a younger, more deeper lineups within the Central Division. The Chicago on any given night could be anybody. Problem is they don't have a lot of bodies around those guys. And they're still in almost a rebuild. They haven't totally gutted it out, and I don't know why, because they've had their run and their window's probably closed. I even said their window was even closing a couple of years ago when they were the top seed and we all thought they were going to destroy the Nashville Predators. We were wrong a couple of years ago. Things are a little bit different now. They're older. They've been having a lot of high draft picks. They're kind of almost in a holding pattern, per se, as far as flights go. They need to make some moves. They definitely need to make some moves. So what I would say, with Minnesota, they would need to with Chicago, they probably have to I don't see them winning and coming out of the West. This is tough. And I, if barring any things with their contracts, it might be time to blow it up with the Chicago Blackhawks. I think it's that time, man. They've had their run. Management has changed over the years. I just think it's been good, but nah, man, not this year. I don't see anything. I don't see things improving. They're holding on to the old guys, which is fine. They were being loyal to guys who brought them multiple Stanley Cups. But as far as the Chicago Blackhawks, man, I think it is what it is. I mean, you could probably see a lot of these guys being traded off by the trade deadline, if not, just finishing bottom of the division. The Colorado Avalanche, as far as Central Division stuff, you already know I'm a big fan of Nathan McKinnon. I've been saying it for multiple years on the Bleed Blue Show. And this is the same reason why I thought they were going to be the Calgary Flames in the first round, because of the firepower they have on that front line, that first line. So with Mikko Rantanen and of course Gabriel Landeskog, I mean this is a potent trio. This is a top four, top five trio in the sport. You can put them behind, the Tampa Bay's, the Boston Bruins lines, the Nashville's. Winnipeg, they're up there with those guys, man. And this is an elite group of scorers that gets the job done, and they're never really out of a game or even their season as long as these guys are there. But I really think adding Kadri from the Toronto Maple Leafs to the mix is going to really help, smooth out what's going on in the second and third lines. I think that's a good pickup, and I know he had his issues in Toronto, but this is a very good pickup and complimentary to these guys' style. They add some balance with more scoring to it. Defenseman-wise, I mean, think it's not the best in the world. I think we could still see a solid year out of Eric Johnson. Probably could add that to the mix with Samuel Girard. But they still could need a lot of guys who could board as far as boarding and physicality. I still think they're missing a lot of guys. They have a lot of old-school guys that could get finished, but as far as lack of scoring out of the top line, they're going to miss a lot. They may fizzle out as far as their regular season. I thought this is the team was going to be one of the top three in the division last year, but they got off to a rough start in trying to get guys back. But going into this year, I think we can expect a lot of good things out of them. They definitely competed last year in the playoffs, and they kind of and they ended up falling, I believe, to the Sharks. But Colorado, man, you can never count them out as long as you got Mikko Rantanen, Nathan McKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog. But as far as finishing the division, I have them at about around fourth through an 82-game schedule. Now, things are different once things get to the playoffs. Things get to the playoffs, all bets are definitely off. So I'll hold up that thought on Colorado. I'm just bouncing around all the central teams. Let's go to the Stanley Cup champions, the St. Louis Blues. It seems like everybody's back. I don't remember a lot of the major moves, guys leaving. I mean, they're still led by Alex Pietrangelo, their star defenseman. Vladimir Tereshchenko, that's RP's favorite guy. That's not a New York Ranger. He's had a good playoffs, and we could talk about Jaden Schwartz and, of course, Braden Schenn, Tyler Bozak, David Perron, who's been there for a while, Oscar Sundquist, who played excellent on the bottom lines this year. If a lot of these guys are back, and they really were strong after January last year. It's really hard not to make a case for the St. Louis Blues. Maybe they'll have a Stanley Cup hangover, especially adding Ryan O'Reilly from the Buffalo Sabres. That was a huge, huge trade that really, really panned out. And he was a vital, vital piece, especially in the second and third rounds of the NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs. But through an 82-game season, I'm still kind of somewhat sleeping on them as far as getting through the gauntlet, like I would call it. But they have been proven that once they are hot and they get into the dance, they can win it. And they played hotter than any of the teams in the entire league. And kudos to the St. Louis Blues to winning the Stanley Cup champions. They could probably do it again next year. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are that talented with their lineups, and if they go on a hot streak, no, you can't count anybody out, and that includes St. Louis because we've seen them do it again. The Dallas Stars, this is probably one of the most interesting teams in the division as far as their moves they made. Now, I talked about how Matt Zuccarello was acquired in the trade with the Rangers, and now he's gone. But adding two veterans that I did not see coming, I would never have thought Joe Pavelski, longtime captain, and I still don't know the reason why he left the San Jose Sharks. I don't know. Maybe he was tired of the Bay Area. He was tired of the Sharks. Maybe just wanted to change the scenery. I never really looked into it like that. But I find it interesting that he's going to Dallas. I'm not exactly sure if he's from the home area. I really don't know all those particulars. But what I do know is adding him and a veteran like Corey Perry, you know, he's a shell of himself. He went through all these kind of injuries. You know, he's still a good locker room guy, a big body that could really, you know, he could still do it at his age as far as contributions. Don't expect the big scoring like it was in early in his career with the Ducks. But that's a good add-on piece, and still get the job done, and as long as he can stay healthy. I know his health was a huge concern with a lot of those Duck players, and we'll talk about that next week. But regardless, man, I mean, this team showed they were fun to watch. The St. Louis Blues series was that was a great series they had last year in the playoffs. Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, Alexander Radulov. That's a very good scoring punch. And you add in Hintz, and then I think the defenseman is what really, even myself, was just slept on as far as probably best guys in, you know, as far as two-way in the sport, especially with the scoring when you talk about Miro Hiskinen, who's probably, 21 years old now? I mean, he's not – he probably can't even drink legally in the States right now. He's still young. And then you add in John Klingsberg. I mean, this – was a very good bunch. Oh, and which Dallas is kind of like, to me, is like a carbon copy, a little bit of the Anaheim Ducks of those years when they were always winning, you know, with the top seeds. They're a big team, could score, but now they have the defensemen that could score. They're going to probably outscore you. They'll give up a lot of goals. We talked about Ben Bishop last year, even being in the net. They should be fine there. So Dallas, in my opinion, may jump up a few spots. I'll even put them as high as two as the second-best team in the Central Division throughout the regular season through 82. You know, they probably could hover around 88, 100 points as long as nobody gets hurt. If these guys stay healthy, I think they're hungry. I think they have a lot to – they want to prove everybody wrong that if St. Louis could win the Stanley Cup, we were right there with St. Louis. Why not us? And I think the Dallas Stars can have that attitude going into 2019-20. Let me see. I covered everybody. This thing got probably about two more teams. The Winnipeg Jets. Okay, let's get to the Winnipeg Jets. The Winnipeg Jets, that was a premature fallout, losing like the way they did, just crapping the bed. To the St. Louis Blues in the playoffs, especially there was no home ice advantage whatsoever. And I think they have a lot of question marks. I know they have salary cap issues. They did not retain Jacob Trouba. And we talked about that a million times with RP, in which I even said that he had a bad playoff. He had a bad playoff this year. There's no doubt. Arguably, some of the plays at his end of the ice as far as covering guys was on his watch. It was really because him not stopping. Everybody's due for bad games, but even though Trouba had a great season, a very good season, I would say great, but very, very good season, playoff-wise, you can't say the same. Now, they get weaker at defensemen, and that's the concern I have for the Winnipeg Jets. They're not as strong, man. I mean, Buffalo's still getting older in age. I mean, I thought Trouba was the guy they could definitely lean on. And I think they're missing those 50 points. I think they really are. I mean, we know the scoring punch they could have with the top six, you know, with Connor and Scheifele and Blake Wheeler and then Patrick Laine and Eichel Ehlers. You know, these guys have scored. I mean, they're a very good scoring team. But can they stop with scoring? And then we saw the issues with they had in net in the playoffs, starting with the defenseman, and that's the trickle effect. I'm not confident on the Winnipeg Jets, like a lot of people would be still because of who's still in their top six. I'm not because what they lost defensively, and I don't know what they replaced that with, and I know they were going through some – they got to pay guys. And here's the other thing that's an issue. Who knows if somebody's going to be trade bait at the trade deadline because the owner don't want to pay certain players. I think Winnipeg falls – you know, I think they finished second last year in the Central Division. I could see them going down a little bit further in the division. I could see them going low at – probably go to 3 or 4. I said Colorado 3 or 4. It's probably going to be those two between 3 and 4. I want to leapfrog Dallas up to 2 in the division. I think the best team in the division is the Predators still. I think I know what happened with them in the playoffs, and they want to right the ship. I mean, everybody swears by Pekka Rinne, and you guys kind of know my thoughts on that. I don't want to get too much into it because I think sometimes he could be a little bit exposed, but he has great defensemen still in front of him. I know losing P.K. Subban to the Devils is one thing, but you still have a slew of Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis and Matthias Elko. I mean, these are solid defensemen. Then if you add Matt Duchene, was a huge, huge pickup. And you could throw him in either or the top six. Him coming from Colorado to Ottawa to now to the Nashville Predators. You add him to Ryan Johansson and Michael Granlin. Adding him to this team, I think along with these guys, this is a very, very solid bunch, man. And you can't never forget about Philip Forsberg, who's an exciting player for the Nashville Predators. I think top to bottom, they have the best balance in the division. I would always say balance over top heavy in an 82-game season because things could change in a 7-game series in the playoffs. But as far as getting through 82 games, I'm definitely going with Duchene. I'll ride with Duchene, Victor Everson, Ryan Johansson, and, of course, you know, you want to throw Pekka Rinne into the net. You know, you can never go wrong with that. And Nashville's definitely my number one. I'm going to probably go with Dallas number two. Winnipeg, Colorado, St. Louis, Minnesota, Chicago in that order. However Minnesota and Chicago finish really doesn't matter because I think they're going to be on the outside looking in. But Nashville, Dallas, Winnipeg, Colorado, St. Louis, it's probably a lot of these teams going to make the playoffs again, man, because this is the best division in the sport, top to bottom, better than Metro, better than the Atlantic, better than the Pacific Division. So I know we got the Rangers. Going back to the Rangers, we got our game. The preseason action starts tomorrow. You know, RP and myself, we're going to discuss finally some game action outside of Traverse City tournaments, air hockey tournaments. We're going to look forward to that discussion, man. This is going to be great, great, great stuff, man. Other than that, man, I don't have nothing else to add, man. I want to conclude this episode just to give a brief down on the Central Division, talking a little bit of Rangers hockey, and look forward to seeing, let's say, who gets on the ice. A lot of ice time with Quinn, with Kako and Kratzoff. I mean, and then Letarte, and a lot of these guys are trying to make the roster. We're going to have to see the development of Elias Anderson, see some action out of Adam Fox. We're going to see a lot of these guys get some good playing time, and I'm definitely look forward to talking about it, man. Other than that, I'm going to talk soon, talk some sports. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Ranger Proud, the Facebook page as well. And, of course, iTunes Podcast with Public Tune and your Stitcher apps. Just wanted to give a quick rundown on the division. And, of course, our team and some of these teams around the league are the action. I was going back and forth between the Flyers and Islanders and, of course, the Hurricanes and Lightning. Those games are pretty much a wrap. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen, bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.